right. Well, glad you're here today. Y'all smile at me real big. Yeah, y'all look really good today. Our pastors, Pastor Lance, Pastor Richard, are trying to get back from Bolivia. So I'm sure they'll be arriving back shortly with some great testimonies, probably next couple of weeks, of what God did in Bolivia while they were there. So, but we're here. I think my wife read a Facebook post to me last night that Pastor Richard was stuck at the Miami airport for 15 hours. Yuck. I'm glad to be in church and not in the airport, Ryan. We're glad you're here. I want to talk to you for the next few minutes that we have about raising the level of your faith. Raising the level of your faith. The disciples had asked Jesus in the book of Matthew to increase their faith. The Bible also talks about that we have a certain measure of faith that God gives us. And we understand that it just takes a mustard seed of faith to move mountains in our life. But I don't think, in all honesty, that God wants us just to remain with a mustard seed of faith. He wants us to grow in our faith so that we can really accomplish all that God has called us to do. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I think we all have something in us as born-again believers that we want to please God. But God said, well, you can't please me if you don't have faith. And as we read the whole book of Hebrews, especially chapter 11, it talks about what we call the heroes of faith and what all they accomplished, not knowing, and they did not even, the Bible says, inherit the promises. See, we have inherited the promise. Jesus has already come, right? He's already come. What they were really looking for, that they were talking about in Hebrews, Jesus has already come, died and rose again. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and we're able to go into the throne room of grace boldly and by faith. I don't know about you. I've never seen God. Well, I do know about you because the Bible says nobody has ever seen God. But his faith and his presence, or his presence is with us. And the more faith we get, the more that we can please God. Could I get an amen? So you say, okay, Pastor Ron, that's a great idea. I want to please God. It says without faith I can't do it. How do I get more faith? Well, the Bible tells us that also. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says that faith, everybody say faith, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We love that passage of Scripture. But I'm just going to paraphrase for a moment. I think that we don't need to just lean on hearing the Bible preached on Sunday, but we also need to get it in our hands and open it up and read it for ourselves. Now, I probably won't get many amens this morning, but like the old country preacher said, I ain't a-wanting any. So, but if you want to, it suits me fine. It won't bother me at all. But I'm thankful for the Word of God. Men have given all. They've laid down their lives so that we could have the Bible. There's many countries that does not have the Word of God. They have to do everything they can to get their hands on a Bible. We are blessed in this country that we have so many means of getting our hands on many, not necessarily a Bible in book form, but on our tablets and on our phones and so on and so forth. So we have every opportunity to get the Word of the living God on the inside of us. Let's don't miss that moment. Amen? As a child growing up, I knew about God, but I never really knew Him. I'm thankful for my mother who took me to church and my two brothers. We went to church on Sunday morning. It was back then, long time ago. Long time ago. That we had Sunday night church. We had Wednesday night church. Then we had sometime what they called camp meeting. Some of y'all are shaking your head like you know what I'm talking about. Where we had revival. You go to revival on Sunday night and it lasts till 2 o'clock in the morning. Then you have to get up and go to school. Not a lot of fun. So mama raised us to go to church. But how many knows that you can be around the things of God and know about God but not know Him? Not necessarily know Him. And that's the story of my life. Growing up as a child, I was around church, but I never accepted Jesus in his totality in my heart until 1989. November 19th, 1989, God transformed my life. I've been very fortunate to have success in country music as a songwriter and did pretty good financially. But with that lifestyle and traveling on the road and all those things that came along with that, I got addicted to cocaine and alcohol, and it almost destroyed my life and everything else. But by the grace of God, in 1989, he reached in my darkest state and he pulled me into his marvelous light. Not because anything that I had done, but because of what he had already done 2,000 plus years ago. And we have that promise today that if we will just step out in faith and trust God and believe God, he will do miraculous things in your life. It'll blow your mind. And I'm going to share some of the things that God has done in my own personal life as a result of digging into this word and wanting to know more about God and not just waiting for a Sunday morning need to hear it preached in the pulpit, but to get in the Bible for myself and read it so that, listen, I can't make it from Sunday to Sunday without the word. I got to have some spiritual food. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Bread represents the word of the living God. So, man, I tell you, I can't do without fried chicken too long. I got to have some fried chicken. Being in the country and being raised in the country, man, I don't know. Many of y'all won't eat fried foods. I'm still going to eat it. I got to have something to eat after I get done today. I can't wait till next Sunday to sit at the dinner table. And neither can you unless you're fasting, and it'll be very difficult. No more than I can wait from Sunday to Sunday to get into this bread of life that can feed me and nurture me and help me and encourage me and pick me up when I'm down. Now, I promised I wasn't going to get this excited, but I just can't help it. After I was born again in 1989, a pastor gave me a Bible, and he told me, he said, if you'll read this, it'll change your life. Now, how many times have you heard that? If you do this or if you do that, it will change your life. I can promise you that if you'll get in the Word of God and you'll have a regular time in the Word of God, it will change your life. D.L. Moody said the Bible was not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. See, the idea is not to get you into some formula to where, well, I read my Bible today and I got it into my mind. The idea is for you to get it into your mind to where it can drop down into your heart and to where it can bring change, ongoing change in your life. I'm so grateful for my loved ones who's gone on before me, my mom. Many times I saw her read her Bible, got her through some very dark times in her life. Even late in her life, before she died, she made it a habit to read her Bible, her coffee and her Bible in the morning. That's right. That's me, sister. I took that after my mama. I got to have 3 cups of coffee and at least 45 minutes of my Bible in the morning. Now, for you, you may need to get into your word at some other point in the day. My wife, she likes to read hers at night. I don't know how she reads it with me snoring, but she does it. I'm grateful for my granddad and my grandmother and many of my uncles who were preachers that read the Bible. I saw them read their Bible, and it made an impact on me as a little child. I remember, just to go in reverse a little bit, digress just a little. After I was born again in 1989, I signed a recording deal to sing with Warner Brothers, and I traveled and did Christian music and just the whole thing, and I was gone a lot. And I remember right after I was born again and we were touring, we were going through Dallas, Texas, and I was doing a bookstore tour. My first album had just come out, and I was really excited about it. Man, it's a charge when you hear yourself sing on the radio, trust me. But anyhow, it was just very, very fulfilling for me. And so we decided in order to promote the album that what we would do is we would do a bookstore tour. Well, I think my wife was with me on this particular bookstore tour, and we were going through Dallas, and we went into this huge bookstore. I mean, it was gigantic, biggest bookstore I had ever seen. And the owner said, you can pick out anything that you want in this bookstore. Now, for a guy, it doesn't take him long to shop. Now, my wife, we were there till closing time. I mean, I had got my gift a long time before she got hers. But I wanted to know, where are the study Bibles? And I got my hands on a study Bible, and he blessed me with that study Bible. And after 26 years of being born again, I still find a time to read my Bible regularly because it feeds me and it nurtures me. I still got that old Bible. I mean, you can get me one for Christmas maybe. I mean, this thing is falling apart. All the maps have fallen out of it. I mean, it's all marked up. But the encouragement that this thing has brought me in dark days, the comfort that it's brought me in times where I didn't think I was going to make it. And it'll do the same for you. So if you want to raise the level of your faith, I encourage you as born-again Christians to read your Bible. You say, well, Pastor Ron, is that a heaven or hell issue for me? If I don't read my Bible, will I not go to heaven? No. Because if you've accepted Jesus, you're going to heaven. But the Bible is an earth issue. This is where the battle's at, is right here. This is where we're fighting against principalities of darkness, is right here. Right here, right now, we are facing some of the most difficult times in the history of our nation. So how much more can I encourage you that we need the Word of God to fight the battle for us? Jesus said, I'll fight it for you. And we're not warring and waging against people, but the war is in the spiritual realm. And it's happening all around us. And we need the Bible. The Bible educates us. It educates us in everyday life. It educates us how to be a husband. Wives, that's a good opportunity to say amen. Wives, it educates us how to be wives. That's a good opportunity for you men. It teaches us how to be parents. It teaches us how to handle our money and our finances. It teaches us how to live godly. It's our roadmap. It's our GPS. It's the direction that we need for our life. It's our future. It's our hope. It's everything that we need. And really, a lot of times, everything that we want. That's the Bible. It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path, which tells me that it's directing me. So if I don't read it, I'm going to get off to the left or to the right, and I'm going to get in places maybe that I shouldn't be stepping into. So if I have the Word of God in me, the Bible says, the Word, I've hidden it in my heart. David, a man after God's own heart, he said, I've hidden it in my heart so that I might not trip up, so that I might not wander to the left or to the right, but so I can stay on this straight path, so that I can reach my destiny that God has called me to. I looked online and, boy, the internet's great. You can find out anything you want to find out. I just wanted to find out how many Christians actually read their Bible. We can shout real good in church and, oh, thank you, Lord. But how many of us actually read our Bible? Statistics say that 4 in 10 Christians read their Bible once a month. Somebody's saying, well, man, that's 40%. What are you complaining about? Once a month. That's 12 times a year. 1 in 5 never read it. I'm not talking about people who does not serve God. I'm talking about the church globally now, okay? 1 in 5 people who are Christians never read their Bible. So you know what that tells me? It tells me that as Christians, as born-again Christians, people who are followers of Christ, they're uneducated. They can't give a defense for the gospel that is within them because they're not really educated in the Bible. And we need to get educated. We're educated in a lot of other things. Reminds me of a funny story. I told this story to Kelby many times. He likes it. He laughs really hard. I don't know if you'll laugh about it or not, but there was this old boy that was lived up in the hills of Tennessee. His name was Hector. Everybody called him Heck. He was country to the bone. Heck was a mechanic. He could tear a car apart and put it back together. He was very, very smart when it came to fixing things. But he was not the most smartest guy when it came to math. He was not very educated even in his English. So he had an idea that he was going to fix a car up and sell it to make him a little extra money. And Heck was one of them old country boys that liked to smoke cigarettes, turn up country music real loud. He rolled his cigarettes up in his sleeve. Y'all never seen anybody like that? And I've never understood this, but, and I've seen a lot of people do this at smoke. They'll hold the cigarette here to where the smoke gets in their eye. I can't figure that out. And then they have to do this as they're talking to you. You know, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? So Heck's working on this car, and his neighbor comes over. And Heck's got the cigarette in his mouth, and the ashes are bent way over by now. You know what I'm talking about? You ever seen that? Where they smoke them. I don't know how the ashes hang on like they do. They just hang on and just bend over. And he can shake his head and still don't fall. That's amazing to me. But so when his neighbor comes over and he says, Heck, what are you doing? Heck picked his head up out of that hood, put that cigarette in his hand, close that eye. He says, I'm a working on this here Volkswagen. He said, well, that thing's a piece of junk. You're not going to get anything out of that. He said, you wait and see. And he took those ashes that was drooped over and put them in his palm, you know, like they do, and then rubbed it all over his greasy pants. And he said, you wait and see. After I get this car fixed up, he said, I bet I can get $1,900 for it. Who knows? Maybe even $1,000. Now, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I know that $1,900 is more than $1,000. Now, he could tear a car apart and put it back together. He was educated in that thing. But when it came to math, 2 and 2 was not 4. But just to make my point, we can be educated in math and English and computer science, and we can do things technologically that will change the world as we know it now, but we're uneducated in the very thing that we need to know the most about. And I think God is wanting to challenge us as men and women of faith to increase our level of faith just by taking some time to get in this Bible. It wants to talk to you. I've heard a lot of people say, well, man, I just don't have time. I don't have time to read the Bible. I got a family, I got kids, I have to work. I'm just wondering sometimes if we just don't take the time. Because you find the time to do the things that you want to do, but you don't take the time to do the things that you need to do. Now, can I prove a point? Average time on watching TV and social media. Gone from preaching to meddling. Y'all ready for this? Average time, 5 hours a day. Watching television, Facebooking, tweeting, Snapchat. I don't even know what that is. When I saw that, I thought, well, maybe that's when my wife and I get in an argument. And I always lose that. That's the only Snapchat I know anything about. Instagram. And the latest craze, Pokemon Go. I mean, y'all are shaking your head. Everybody's, don't you leave this church service to go find that thing. He'll wait. But if we're going to raise the level of our faith, we've got to find the time and take the time to see what God is wanting to say to us. We need to help our children understand the greatest training that you can give them is teach them to read their Bible. Our little granddaughter Zoe, we call her Zozo, she stayed with us last night. I knew I was going to talk about this today. And I said, Zoe, I said, do you read your Bible? She said, no, sir. She said, my phone reads it to me. I said, your phone? I got my phone out, and she was showing me the Bible app. And you know, kids know a lot more about phones than parents do, by the way, and grandparents. And she turned it on. This guy started reading. I said, man, I like that. He can pronounce all those words that I cannot pronounce when I read the Bible. But you know the thing about that is that she is being taught at an early age the importance of just a little time in her Bible. Just a little time will change the way that you perceive things. Just a little time that when you're walking in a storm will help you to get through the storm and through the fire. Just a little time would might bring you the encouragement that you needed at that very moment in your life. Just a little time in the Word may help you to understand if God healed them, maybe He will heal me. If God brought them through that, maybe He'll bring me through it. There are examples in there for us to live by. So as we soak the Word of God into our lives, there is no storm that we can't get through. There is no situation. Can I preach for a minute? There is no situation that we can't walk through. There is no valley too low or no mountain too high or no river too high that we can't get through it. Amen. I'm very grateful for the spiritual sons that I've had in the faith. I see Pastor Lance and Pastor Richard up here speaking, but my discipleship to those young men when they were younger and they had just received Christ, read your Bible. Did you read your Bible? Did you get the Word of God in you today? Did you take time to get the Bible in you? Because I know that it not only transforms lives, but God uses the Bible that gets down into your heart to transform somebody else's. I may have already said this, but I've been very blessed to accomplish and do a lot of things in my lifetime, especially musically, and I'm just grateful to God for that. When I was traveling and doing Christian concerts back in the 90s, which reminds me, my grandkids reminded us how old we were the other day. I think that one of them was talking to Nancy and wanted to know how old she was and how old I was. And I don't remember exactly how the story went, but she said, wow, y'all are old. Y'all were born in the 1900s. Wow. All right, confession time. Everybody born in the 1900s, raise your hand, please. So, Audrey, there's a lot of old people in here today. But when I was traveling on the road and doing Christian concerts, I had a lot of time, and I'd read my Bible. I just love reading my Bible. And it's in those moments that when you've got some quiet time, God can really speak to you. And it was one of those aha moments when the words jumped off the page at me. And I'm going to get Ryan to put the scripture up. He may already have it up there. It's in Acts chapter 20, verse 16 and 18. Now, before this, I want you to know that I had never preached, never pastored a church. I was just traveling around singing and giving my testimony. That's all I was doing. I thought that's what I'm going to do the rest of my life. Boy, does God have other plans for your life. And it was like God spoke this directly to me. It says, rise, verse 16, and stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose. See, when God speaks to you, he's got a purpose why he's speaking. He's not going to reveal it necessarily to you right then, but it will come to pass because his word can't return void into itself. For I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. Verse 18, to open their eyes, people's eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified in me. When I read that, and it was real bold on my page, I had no idea what God was trying to say to me. I didn't have a clue. I read it again. And I had it on my mind for several days after that. And nothing happened for a long time. And then, 1994 in April, I showed up in North Carolina to do a concert. Friday night. Never forget it. So after the concert was over, it was a church. It was about 1,500 people. There was probably 300 or 400 people there that Friday night. So after I got done, the pastor said, you know what? A lot of my church people were not able to be here tonight. Can you come back on Sunday morning? And can you do this again? I said, well, man, I tried to figure out every way to get out of it, Kelby. I said, well, you know, I got to go 4 hours down the road because I got to sing Saturday night at another place. And that's a long way, and your church service starts early. And, I mean, I was making up all kind of excuses because I was going home after Saturday night. I was ready to go home. So he said, he talked me into it. So I went and did the Saturday night concert. I came back. It was so early in the morning. We didn't get back there till late. I was tired. I was going, oh, man, I wish I didn't have to go do this. So I get there at that church service in April in 1994 on a Sunday morning. And I just sang, and I gave my testimony. And as I was singing my last song, scores of people started coming to the front, crying, weeping. I didn't know what was going on. I just kept singing. So after I was done, I handed the mic back to the pastor. They started praying for people, and I later found out people were getting born again. There was all kind of wonderful things happening. And so the pastor looked at me and he turned around and he said, can you come back tomorrow night? I said, well, I guess so. He said, okay. So he told the people, we got back there on that Sunday night or Monday night. The place was packed. 1,500 people, they were just everywhere. I got up. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, just do the same thing that you usually do. I got up and I sang. Gave my testimony, and then it happened again. People were just coming and rushing to the front, and God was doing something in their lives. He looked at me and he said, can you stay till Wednesday? I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to preach. I said, whoa. You didn't cross the line. I'm not a preacher. I cannot do that. He said, well, just come back. So I got up there. And something came over me in that moment. When he turned the service over to me, I said, everybody take your Bibles and open them to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I was like, what am I doing? I stayed there for 9 weeks. Those poor people. A novice trying to speak. But in the process, hundreds of people were born again. There was a little boy with a brain tumor. I'll never forget it. And it caused him to go blind. We prayed for him. He was able to see. There were so many testimonies. But I just want to tell you that it's not me. It was the glory of God and the power of God working through me. But I really believe, looking back, that it was a result of the nights that I spent in this book. And then I read one time, Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, and he said, be ready in season and out of season. You never know when God's going to tap you on the shoulder. I encourage you to be ready. It could mean the difference in somebody's life being changed forever, forever. After that, I just started traveling and preaching and singing a little bit. And then in 1998, I got off the road and we helped plant the church in Murfreesboro, my wife and I. And out of that church came the church here in Bethel, in Clarksville. Pastor Lance, Pastor Richard, Pastor Brock, Pastor Mike, they all got born again right there in Murfreesboro. And what we're having today is a result of what God did in their lives. And we train them up. And if I was discipling you today, I would just tell you one thing. Read your Bible. That would be my first word of instruction to you. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. It'll change your marriage. It'll change the way and some of the things that your kids are going to have to face. They're going to need the Bible. They're going to need it. Say, I love my children. Get the Bible in them. Let them see you reading the Bible. I still remember those things with my mama. I didn't do it right away, but I remembered it. And I know it got her through some difficult times. And I believe in my heart of hearts, this is a simple word. This is not deep theological stuff. I can't do that. But just the practical thing of opening that word and letting God speak to you will change your life. Can you say amen to that? Can I sing a song before I quit? Okay, I'm going to do that. This is a song that I wrote way back in the 90s. It's about the word of God, really. And it was a rush the first time I ever heard one of my songs on the radio. It was just like, wow, man, that is so cool. And so anyhow, the radio station DJ called me. He had played the song, and he said, something really great happened from your song today. He said, I played it, and a girl called in, and she was distraught, and she was crying. He said, I hardly could understand what she was saying. He said, but I finally made it out. He said, this girl was so despondent, she was getting ready to take her life. She had a gun pointed to her head, and she was getting ready to kill herself. He said, what she was doing listening to the Christian radio station, I don't know. I know. She put the gun down. She received Christ. And I really don't know what happened to her after that. But all I know is that because of a song about the word and what it can do, changed her life and saved her life. It'll save yours. It'll change your life. Let me sing this song for you. It's called I Give You My Word.
Today you're in this room, all hope is gone. Searching for a reason to go on. But you're not alone. I give you my word. Thinking to yourself, nobody cares. The desperation's more than you can bear. But I've been there. I give you my word.
I give you my word.
I give you a promise you can hold on to.
I give you my word.
My word doesn't lie. It's forever true. From cover to cover, open it and discover the best friend you ever knew. I give you my word. I give you my word. I give you my word. Think the only answer answer is to end it all. But you've misread the writing on the wall.
'Cause I'll pay the cross.
I give you my word. Hold on to.
I give you my word.
My word doesn't lie. It's forever true. From cover to cover, just open it and discover the best friend you ever knew. I give you my word.
We just stand for a moment, please.
I give you my word.
Give the Lord a hand clap today, all right? Come on, can we just give him a real good praise this morning? Come on, let's thank him for his word today. Come on up, Aaron. God bless you this morning. I just want to pray. Can I just take a moment to pray for him? By the way, love Aaron. Don't we love Aaron? He was talking about how that he wanted to celebrate all of our birthdays earlier. I'll make sure I get you my birthday so you can put it in your calendar.
Get you a gift card.
Yeah. This has just been a great day, and I just want to just pray for you as we close this morning. Father, thank you for this great group of people. Thank you, God, that you have a great destiny for all their lives. Lord, I pray as we leave this place today that we were encouraged, we were challenged, and we would step up at the plate, and we would take the challenge that's been issued today. Lord, help us as we raise our children. Help us, Lord, as we fight through marital problems and all of the issues of life that face us on a daily basis. Lord, help us in this country. I ask you, God, to bring union and peace and unity, even as Aaron was praying earlier today. Lord, thank you that we can come into a place like this and we can be encouraged and we can leave better than we came. I pray for everybody today for protection, that your hand would be on them. We give you glory and praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know why I ask you to come up here. All that faith on you.
It's unity.
That's what it is. See here?
Body.
That's why, right there. All right? Come on, give God a praise. Hug somebody before you go. Can I dismiss them?
You got it.
You're dismissed. Lord bless you.